Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
This idea of living a balanced lifestyle. Living a balanced lifestyle. The challenge last week was to see it. We wanted to just begin the process of understanding God's principles in terms of resources. And we looked at what it meant to be owners versus stewards. You remember that? Owners would say something like, they would believe that everything they have is something that they've earned, and it's theirs to keep and to possess and use as they wish. But stewards are people who understand that everything belongs to the Lord, and that He gives it to us for us to manage and to use to build His kingdom. And so there's this great difference between the ownership model and the stewardship model and how we go about experiencing and using the resources that we have. Today we're going to move forward and look at a little bit of a different twist on this. We're going to look at giving. We're going to try to understand what it means in God's principles of finances to give things away. So in doing this, we need to stop and acknowledge that there is a really tender nature to this topic that is somewhat uncomfortable for me. I mentioned this a little bit last week as well. That it can be somewhat unnerving for all of us to think about this, right? To contemplate these things. But I think that really as we look at it deeper, we can really see clearly that the connection to how we deal with finances in our own personal life has a direct correlation to our own spiritual journey. And the things that we hold on to tightest in this world often get in the way of our ability to connect with the Almighty and to connect spiritually. So I think it's good for us to think about this, and this is not a sermon series that's meant to generate additional revenue for the church at all. Now, if that's an outcome, praise the Lord. But that's not the intention, because I want to be a pastor that helps us see. I want to be a pastor who understands this and puts this into practice as well. That the way to grow spiritually can often start with how we look at the things around us and the resources that we have. How we look at what other people have as well, and the things that we want to hold close to ourselves. If we're willing to give things away, it speaks largely to how we view God in our lives. So, I just want to kind of address that right up front, because this is not in any way, shape, or form intended to guilt or to pressure anyone to do anything in regards to our church. But it is intended to help us grow deeper in our spiritual journey with the Lord. So that is kind of how we want to start this day. I want to just kind of use this verse of Scripture, these two verses of Scripture today, to kind of season the whole time, to season our whole discussion. You're very familiar with them, I'm sure. They come from Romans chapter 12, the very first two verses of Romans chapter 12. And I want us to just kind of read these and look at these verses today from the paraphrase known as the Message. Eugene Peterson is a theologian pastor who kind of retranslated into modern language the Bible. But here's how he put Romans chapter 12. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. You understand, He's giving us that different perspective that we looked at last week. We need to see everything around us, our normal everyday life, is really a gift from God. He goes on, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Now, I have to believe that sentence right there probably articulates where many of us are, and that many times we fail at accomplishing that sentence right there. So I'm going to reread that for myself today. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God wants to bring the best out of you. Develops well-formed maturity in you. That is really a fantastic verse of Scripture that helps us understand that really everything we have, everything we possess, everything we can see around us is God's. And our best method of treating it and responding to it and using it is through the way God calls us to and the way God is challenging us to. If we can look at it as God and we just want to use it for Him, it changes our whole perspective of worship. So I've got some questions, and I think this verse of Scripture and the Scriptures we're going to look at today really cause us to consider this morning. They're actually in your bulletin insert. If you receive the bulletin today, there's a white insert that has these three questions written in slightly different ways for you to check how you would respond to them. The first question I'm wondering today is, are we serving our stuff, or are we serving God? In our current financial situation, and only you know your current financial situation, whether you're a teenager and you have all these things that you want, and all these things, and you maybe have a job and you're trying to work for these things you want, or you're saving up for college, or what, or whether you're retired on that other end of the spectrum, and you've got a whole other set of financial circumstances. Are you, and are we, and am I in a situation where our things are what we have to serve because we have so many bills and so many other pressures, we have to kind of bow to the pressures of those financial situations? Or are we able to serve our God with our finances? Secondly, what drives our financial planning? This is a great question. Fear or faith? Are you afraid that if you don't have a certain size house or a certain type of car or a certain style of clothing that maybe you won't be accepted or welcomed or liked? Is there a certain fear in you that if you don't have certain things that people will treat you differently? Are you afraid that if you don't save everything that you have that something bad will happen to you? You need to be prepared for the worst case scenario. There's some wisdom in that. But we can also go too far with something bad as well. And go involved with us. Things are going to be able to go look at that in the scripture that we're going to investigate this morning. The third question that I'm pondering today is this. Am I living as if what I have equals my life? Am I living as if what I have equals my life? This is what this question really means. Do I look at the possessions that I have, the things that I've obtained, my abundance, and think that that is my self-identity? Do I find the majority of my self-image, my self-identity, through the things that I have, through the possessions I've obtained? Or do I find my self-worth through the Lord, through different methods of teaching? These are questions that I think are important for us to look at today. They will tell the story of kind of where we've been in looking at our finances to this point. And answering them can help us move forward in understanding the direction that God is ultimately leading us to. So, what do we do with these questions? Well, I think we look at what Jesus did with these questions. And I think Jesus addressed these three questions in a parable that told to a group of people that's recorded in Luke chapter 12. If you have your Bible today, I'd encourage you to turn there. Luke chapter 12, we're going to see just how Jesus responded to a group of people who were wondering how Jesus really viewed inheritance and all types of financial situations. And he answers it with great wisdom, as Jesus always does, through a parable, through a great story that articulates very truth. So Luke chapter 12, I'm going to start just halfway through verse 15. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's a phrase we're going to use quite a bit today. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And many of you are probably wondering, what is he talking about? Abundance? Does he not read the news? Does he not get a paper? Nobody has abundance anymore, right? Well, I would challenge you on that. You probably all could pull out a cell phone today, right? I've got one right here trying to keep me on time. Hopefully nobody calls me because it's going to vibrate on the phone. They're really loud. But we all have things we choose to spend our money for. Newer cars, bigger houses. You know, we have abundance. We just don't like to call it abundance because that makes us feel greedy. But we don't want to feel greedy. We want to feel like we're using God's money appropriately. But the reality is, a lot of what we have is really out of abundance. So Jesus is talking about that this abundance does not form our life. He goes on to say, he told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. So then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all of my grain and all of my goods. And I'll say to myself, well, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You get a picture of what's going on here? A farmer has been blessed abundantly. His crops are yielding more than he could have ever anticipated. He had barns. He had houses. He had all those things. But it wasn't enough. And so instead of doing something else with this bumper crop, he decides that he's going to tear down what he currently has and he's going to build bigger farms. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Because God is blessed, because there's more resources, because there's more things, we're not going to be content with the small barns that were enough to this point. We're going to tear those barns down and build bigger barns, and not for the sake of generosity or any other reason. His motivation is quite clear. His motivation is, now that I've attained this level, now that I'm the farmer in town, and because the crops have come in and God has obviously blessed me, I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to go for an early retirement. I've got all I need. Now, Jesus addresses this mentality straight on. But God says to this man, Jesus' words again, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? In other words, you aren't taking any of that bumper crop with you. Your big barns are staying put. Everything you thought you had for yourself is now left. This is how it will be, Jesus says, with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich, would not. What is the point that Jesus is really hammering here? He's hammering that none of us know the day, the time, the hour, or the method in which our life will be called into account. He's saying that what we do with the blessings he gives us has great impact on how God views even us. You see the words there at the very end? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself. In other words, this man is rich to himself. This man has obtained great wealth and has a lot of respect in his community. It's all for himself. But he is not rich toward God. He hasn't set aside any of this bumper crop to give to God. He hasn't set any of this bumper crop aside to give to those who have nothing. He's holding it all to himself for his own glory and for his own good. He's looking to get whatever he can get from what God has given him instead of being rich toward God. He is living in the abundance of his possessions. He's looking to buy new cars. He's building bigger closets. He's storing away things in his basement. He is looking at himself and himself only. You know, when I read this and contemplated its meaning in my own life, I kept thinking, Lord, I don't know that I have abundance. What abundance do I have? And I began to think about how when we moved into our house, I felt like I didn't have enough storage. There's no storage space here. I gotta build shelves for storage space here. There's nowhere to put anything. Well, if I need storage, then I've got abundance. Right? If I need space to hide things for a while, tuck things away, and forget that I've even got them, then I've probably got abundance that I can give away. If you've ever had a garage sale, and you discovered things you didn't even remember having, like us, you probably have abundance. But we have matched this stuff like crazy. Tammy was watching one of her shows on Thursday nights that she likes to watch, and this woman in the show had gone through great tragedy. And it just boggled our minds as we watched this. But because of this great tragedy, she could no longer throw anything away. And so the doctor went in to pay a visit on the young boy that lived in the house and literally could not walk through the house. Everything was broken. There was very little that worked. But she could not throw it away because every one of those things was attached to a memory of the loss that she had suffered. Or she felt like if she were to get rid of it, that it could cause the same thing to happen. But it became a very traumatic mental experience. James gives the name for what that is. I forget what it is, but the reality was this woman had abundance, could not throw a thing away for years. But it reminds me that really we kind of aren't too far behind here sometimes. And we hang on to things, and we hold on to things, and we store things, even if it's financial or whether it's possessions or resources. We just try so hard sometimes to hold on to things and not be rich toward God. Because being rich toward God is giving away. Being rich toward God is not being rich toward ourselves. Being rich toward God means we let things go. Being rich toward God means that we don't amass a whole lot of things in this world. It means we kind of live on that edge. Now I'm not trying to advocate at all that we all need to be poor. As a matter of fact, there's great verses of Scripture that say to be rich is a blessing of God. There's nothing wrong in that. But it's a question of our heart and how we handle the crop. It's a question of our heart and how we handle what comes to us. Do we just want to build bigger barns? Or can we be rich towards God and live towards the needs of others? It really comes down to how we want to handle the lordship of God and trust in Him. Jesus went on to tell this great crowd that there was a couple of illustrations that we could look at. He says, look at the ravens, by the way. These birds. Scum of the earth, really. Not football. Ravens. I'm sorry. I got that confused around here. Now, these little birds, God's creatures. He tells them not Baltimore Ravens. They're in the wrong division. These birds don't have to freak out and try to store up and store up and store up. God provides for them every day what they need. He goes on to say the lilies in the field, they don't get all nervous if they're not going to have water. They're beautifully clothed just the way they are. They don't need more. And then he says these words, but seek the kingdom. Seek His kingdom. And these things that you want, these things that you need, will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid. This is the question of fear versus faith. Do not be afraid, O little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You understand God's kingdom is just a little bit bigger than the kingdom you're trying and striving to build here, right here and now. Can you get a picture of that just for a minute? The kingdom that you're building right now, it might have an address associated with it. It might have a bank account associated with it. God is willing to give you the keys to His kingdom. And that's a big kingdom last time I heard about. That is a big kingdom. So, do not be afraid, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions then, and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. Where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Purses that don't wear out. What is he talking about? He says when we translate all of these funds in our own wealth, when we pursue all this stuff for ourselves, we're amassing things that will fade away, things that we can't take with us. But when we look at being rich in God, all of a sudden, nothing can destroy that. That's a non-wealth and an account and some kind of kingdom building process that I can't really comprehend, that nobody can tamper with. There is no security worry when we are rich in God. How then shall we look at our struggle? I listened to Andy Stanley preach a great message. Andy Stanley, the pastor of the family. And he said something along these lines. What I do with my finances, What I do with my finances is an indication of whether or not I believe my life consists in the abundance of my possessions or in the abundance of His gifts. And that's worth writing down on your paper. Those are my words. You can write those down. You can keep that center, take that somewhere. What I do with my finances is a direct indication of whether or not I believe that my life consists of the abundance of my possessions, my kingdom, or in the abundance of His grace. My friends, all we have to do is look pretty seriously at our spending habits and determine whether or not we are living in the abundance of our possessions or if we are living in the abundance of His grace. That's really all we have to do. And that, I'm serious, I brought up a couple of young boys who are doing that at a very young age. It doesn't matter how much you think you have or don't have, you can contribute anything that God directs you to and be rich. And be rich in God. See, it's not a question. God's scripture speaks to this over and over and over again. It's not a question of the dollar amount. It isn't. It's a question of the percentage. God always uses percentages when talking about finances. Why? Because some of you could come today and contribute $100 without even sweating it. And others of us would contribute $100 and be really worried. God, you're going to have to provide a miracle. It's not about the amount. It's about the percentage. It's about what God has given you and you giving Him back a percentage of that. Again, this is not a conversation about how to give to the church. I'm talking about how you can be rich in God, and that is not only limited to giving to the church. That's one method, and that is one great way, and I am blessed by your giving. But I'm talking about how loosely or how tightly you hang on to what God has given you. And if you can hold on to it loosely and say, God, use this. You give it to me, so you help me to know how to use it for your kingdom. Then we're growing riches where nothing can steal or destroy. And that's the important lesson we need to learn. That it's not about our abundance. It's about His abundance and grace in our lives. First Timothy, we looked at last week, tells some great stories, helps us understand this even better. I want to look at just a couple of verses. 1 Timothy chapter 6. These are Paul's words to Timothy. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for your enjoyment. Those are good words. We use those before. Command them to be good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves in the firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is true. We are storing up for ourselves great treasures that will really produce great dividends when we look beyond ourselves. There's a warning here. I hear Paul uses. He warns us, A, that we should not be arrogant. We shouldn't look at our own wealth and something and say, God bless me, look how much God blessed me, God must love me more than you, and have this sense of arrogance over everything that you have been given by God's grace. He also says in a warning, you should never trust your finances. You should never trust your finances, because if you have found out, for any of us that have lost money in the stock market, or 401k, or 403b, or any other number of other combinations you have, money goes a lot quicker and a lot easier than it comes. Right? And when we trust it, we are trusting in the wrong things. He also encourages us through those words that we need to be rich in good deeds. We need to do good things for other people. We also need to be generous in our giving, but we need to be willing to share. That is how we are storing up for ourselves the treasure for the kingdom to come. So, how do we move this thing forward? How do we look at understanding God's sufficiency and put this into practice? Let's make this tangible for just a moment. I want to challenge us all to do this. I want every one of us to do this week if we can. I want us to do four things, four simple steps. Discover, first of all, how you spend your money. I think this is an important first step for us all to understand whether or not we are generous, whether or not we're giving, whether or not we're living in the method of being rich in God or rich in the abundance of our own possessions. So the first step is to discover how you spend your money. This might be tough for some of you. This might be easier depending on how you track your finances at home. I have on the back of your insert today put a little spreadsheet here that I generated from Excel. And this is just the hard copy of it. But I wanted to do this myself, and so a couple of weeks ago we did this at our house. I began to look at the Quicken that I do all of our finances in, and began to look at where we spend a lot of the money. And so I developed just this little spreadsheet that helped me kind of see where the big picture was. John Corey has helped me put this online, so actually the exact Excel spreadsheet that you see on the back of your insert is available on our website if you go to the where you download the sermon and go to the line for today. It's already there. You can click on it and download that Excel spreadsheet. The beauty of it is it adds up things for you and multiplies things for you. It's fairly well. I did it for a person that's paid bi-weekly. You can kind of see what you need to do for every paycheck. But it kind of just broke it down for us where some of our money was going. Then the second step is I want you to discover how much money, how much you've given away this year. How generous have you really been? Look at your checkbook. Look at your receipts. How generous have you been? Many of you have received a giving statement from Rich over the last week. It'll be funny to tell you how generous you really have been. Is that the percentage you were shooting for? Or did you come under a little bit? How generous were you? Consider then how much you'd like to give away in 2010. That's step three. We need to be diligently planning how to live with less and how to give away more. If we aren't going to live in the abundance of our possessions, we need to develop a plan that makes us slightly uncomfortable and says, God, if I'm going to not live in my abundance anymore, if I'm going to not have to get that new cell phone or that new car this year, if I'm going to do with less, I need to plan on how to give more. And so I want you to develop a plan on how to do that if you can. Sit down, talk about it as a family. How can you give more? How can you do more? How can you put these words into action? Also, in the back of your insert, to try to help with this a little bit, I found a couple of our websites that are helpful. One is balanceonline.org, which is kind of where I got the name for this sermon series called Balance. On that site, right away, there is something called a giving sheet or a giving document that you can click on. It's a PDF, and it will help you just kind of list that out. And it asks a very penetrating question, which is kind of our fourth question on the PowerPoint today. Consider what adjustments you'll need to make to accomplish the new dream you have in giving, in being rich in God. I believe there are some of you today who can be much more generous, much more giving, and really not impacted at all. But there are many more of us who say, we're going to be more generous. We're going to have to cut the margin down somewhere in the money that we spend. We're just going to have a plan. And it's tough. It's not fun. Nobody likes to do with less. But I believe as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be people who are rich in Him and not rich in us. Even in the midst of the economic downturn, we can be more generous to Him. Again, about the fourth time I'm mentioning this, this is not a direct translation to the church. If you are all of a sudden more aware of others and their needs all throughout the week, all throughout your day, that's going to change your whole mindset of the possessions you have. If you want to contribute more to the church as a response to that, fantastic. I'm just hoping for looser grips of what we have so that we can respond to the needs of our friends, respond to the needs of our family, respond to the needs of those around us with greater intensity. The scriptures that we started our discussion on today, Romans 12, when we read it again. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in to God in the kingdom instead. Instead, fix your attention on God. fix your attention on God, because you'll be changed from the inside. Recognize what God wants you to do, what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you that is always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well more maturity. Father God, I pray that as He sings this song for us today, as we contemplate what You are to us, that You become our everything, that our attention will be fixed squarely on You today, and that we will begin the process, if we haven't already, or at least reconsider the process of living for You and becoming rich in You and not rich in the abundance of what we need. Help us today to see Your hand at work through our finances. Help us to trust You to bless those who give. Help us, Lord God, to make all this done for You. We ask in Jesus' name.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.